وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah, we seek His assistance, and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Wherever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah from whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du, certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen. And every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is a string. And every string is in the hellfire. Continuing with fiqh in the book Al-Adilat al-Radiyyatu li-Matni al-Durur al-Bahiyya fi al-Masail al-Fiqhiyya by Imam al-Shawkani with the ta'liq of Muhammad Subhi Hassan al-Hallaq, we come to Al-Faslu Thani Tatahiru al-Najasat. And the statement of Al-Shawkani rahimahullah, وَيَطْحَرُ مَا يَتَنَجَّسُ بِغَسْلِهِ حتى لا يبقى لها عين ولا لون ولا ريح ولا طعم، والنعل بالمسح والاستحالة مطهرة لعدم وجود الوصف المحكوم عليه، وما لا يمكن غسله بالصب عليه أو النسح منه حتى لا يبقى للنجاسة أثر. والماء هو الأصل في التطهير، لا يقوم غيره مقامه إلا بإذن من الشارع. Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says here, section number 2, purifying the najasa, and his statement that you purify that which has been najis, or that which has something najis on it, you purify it by washing it until nothing of the najasa remains, no color, no smell, and no taste. And the shoes, you remove the najasa by wiping them. And if something is najis and goes, transforms, I don't know how to say it, transforms to something which is pure, then this transformation from what is najis to what is pure is the way that it's purified. We'll try to make it a little clearer later, inshallah. And what isn't able to be purified from those things that are najis by washing that which is najis off of it, then it's by pouring water on it, or by taking off that which is najis until there's no more trace of that which is najis on it. Water is the origin for cleaning, for making things pure. And nothing replaces water except that we have permission from Allah. So here Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he shows us in general how to clean that which is najis. If something is najis, then you just simply take the water and wash it off until it's gone. When it comes to the shoes, you just wipe it off. Wipe your shoes on the ground, and we'll bring the hadith for this inshallah ta'ala. If something was najis and it transformed into something that is pure, then that is sufficient for it to be purified, that which was najis. Those things that you can't just wash off, and we'll give the example like the earth or something, then you just pour water on it, or you take up that which is najis until nothing is remaining. And water is the origin, or this is what is used to purify things, and nothing can take that place except that you have a text for it. As far as the first point, that you purify that which is najis by washing it with water, then we have covered these hadith, and we'll take a look at them again, as the hadith of Imam Muslim rahimahullah, on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا وَلَغَ الْكَلْبُ فِي إِنَاءِ أَحَدِكُمْ فَلْيُرِقْهُ ثُمَّ لْيَغْسِلْهُ سَبْعَ مِرَارٍ وَعَفِّرُهُ الثَّامِنَ بِالتُّرَابِ, as in one of the narrations of Sahih Muslim. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, if a dog licks one of the containers of you, then pour out its contents and then wash it seven times, and the eighth time to wash it with dirt. So here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is showing us that to purify something that was najis is by washing it as he commanded us to wash in this case. And the same thing in the case of the next hadith, إِذَا أَصَابَ ثَوْبَ إِحْدَاكُنَّ الدَّمُ مِنَ الْحَيْضَةِ فَلْتَقُرُصْهُ ثُمَّ لِتَنْضَحُ بِمَاءٍ ثُمَّ لِتُصَلِّيَ فِيهِ. Here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, if one of you, referring to the women, you get some of your menstrual cycle blood on your clothing, then scratch it off and then wash it with water, and then you can make salat in that clothing. So here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and these two hadith for example, we see that purifying that which is najis is by washing it off. Is by washing it off until, as Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says, until there's no more of that which is najis on it, and then there's no color, and then there's no smell, and then there's no taste. Because if you have some of it still remaining, then it's najis so far as that thing is najis is remaining on the clothing or whatever. And so long as you smell it, it's still there. So long as you smell something, then it's still there. And the same thing if you see the color of it or what have you. So here we see from these hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, that you clean that which is najis by water. When it comes to your shoes, like you're walking in the street and you step on some dog mess or whatever, to clean your shoes, then you simply wipe them, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam has showed us in this other hadith collected by Abu Dawood, and it's authentic, where the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدُكُمُ الْمَسْجِدَ فَلْيَقْلُبْنَ عَلَيْهِ وَلْيَنْظُرْ فِيهِمَا فَإِنْ رَأَى خَبَثًا فَلْيَمْسَحُ بِالْأَرْضِ ثُمَّ لِيُصَلِّي فِيهِمَا. And this hadith is authentic, where the Messenger of Allah ﷺ said, if one of you comes to the masjid, then turn his shoes upside down so he can see the bottom and look at them, and if he sees anything filthy that he had stepped on, then wipe it on the ground, and then he can make salat in those two shoes. So here the Messenger of Allah والسلام, shows if it's on your shoe, then you wipe it on the ground. Some of the people who let shaitan play with them, they're thinking sometime, you know, you wipe it on the ground, you might then get all of it off and what have you and so on. The Messenger of Allah والسلام, who does not speak on his own desires, he only speaks from revelation revealed to us. He told us how to clean this thing off that's najis on the bottom of your shoe by wiping it in the ground. You wipe it in the ground as best you could to get off what you see on there. And then after that, it's sufficient. As the Prophet ﷺ said, and then make salat in it. To show you that it's sufficient, the Prophet ﷺ makes salat in it. Somebody stepped in some dog mess, he just wiped his feet on the ground. So he think he got it off. Then he makes salat in it. And here the Messenger of Allah والسلام, is just confirming how pure your shoes really are when you wipe it on the ground. As he said, make salat in them. And how would the Messenger of Allah والسلام, command someone to make salat in shoes that still has something najis on it? So if something is on a person's shoe, then it's sufficient that he wipes it on the ground, as the Messenger of Allah والسلام, has explained in that hadith. Imam Ash-Shawkani, he gives the example on the next point, and that is, if something is najis, then that najis thing transfers into something else that's pure, then that transformation is the purification of that thing that was najis. Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he had just given the example of khamr. And when I said the khamr, what was most authentic is that it wasn't najis. And we have mentioned that some of the people said that it was najis. Let's just make as if it was najis. Alcohol, they can make it go through a process and make it turn into vinegar. I don't know how you work that out. Or like, you know, the example of peroxide, you leave it in the sun, it turns into water, and it's not peroxide anymore. On these things, and then the people can use whatever they know that would transform. If something transforms from something that was najis to something that was pure, then that thing that is najis, it's no more purification of it, because the simple transformation into something that is pure is sufficient. Why? Because now you're going to make the verdict on that thing that's pure. If peroxide is najis, then when the sun hits it and it turns to water, when it's time to make the verdict on water, then there's no need to say, well, the water is najis, let's clean the water. I mean, because once it's water, it's pure. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.
It's the same like if you use animal manure for fertilizing the
whole crop. Fertilize, I don't know when they use this manure. And I don't know if it turns into another thing, but it has to turn into something else. Like the brother he had mentioned, and this is for the soda drinkers. They said all of the soda are produced, the carbonation is produced by alcohol. They have this alcoholic process that carbonates soda or Kool-Aid, whatever. He said this amount of alcohol is small. And when it goes through the process of carbonation, then it's not alcoholic anymore. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But here Imam Ash-Shawkani is trying to show, once something transforms into something else, then it takes the verdict of that which it was transformed into. And this is like some of the ulama, they say, if these new metal alloys, maybe you got a ring, it's made out of a new metal alloy. This metal has gold in it. And the Messenger of Allah ﷺ prohibited the men from wearing gold. Alright, can you wear that ring? When they said they put some gold in the mixture, the verdict is going to be, what is that metal? Whatever you say, I don't know the name of these new alloy metals or whatever, they say it's so and so. Okay, it's not gold anymore, even though whatever went into the gold may have went into the process. The verdict is going to be on that which is the final outcome, or the result, or the end product. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And this is the explanation of Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah. What isn't possible to be washed, then you pour water over it. And he takes this from the hadith that we had looked at before, where Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu qal, قام أعرابي فبال في المسجد فتناوله الناس فقال لهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم دعوه وأهريقوا على بوله سجلا من ماء أو ذنوبا من ماء فإنما بعثتم ميسرين ولم تبعثوا معسرين. And this authentic hadith of Al-Bukhari, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he says that a desert Arab stood up in the masjid and urinated. So the people went to grab him, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, leave him alone, and just get a bucket of water and pour it over the urine. Indeed, you only have been sent to make things easy and not to make things difficult. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing very clearly in this example that alright, somebody urinate on the ground, you're not going to pick up the dirt and then wash it out and then put it back. So this is what Imam Ash-Shawkani is saying. When you can't wash it out, then what you do is pour water on top of it. And this might be the case sometimes for the rug. The carpet is big. You can't just pick it up and wash it if it's a wall-to-wall carpet. So you pour water on it until it's pure, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us in this example. Or you take it off until there's no more najasa left. And here Imam Ash-Shawkani is showing if something najis had fell on the rug and they were able to just scoop it up and take it away, when you looked at it, you didn't smell anything, nothing was left, okay, then it's okay. So here Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah is also showing, if the thing is just taken off, if it's just that simple that something is najis there and then you just pick it up, then it's okay, as there's no remains of that which was najis, so it's no need to purify that place, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. He said water is the origin of cleaning or purifying that which something najis has fallen onto it. And we see this in the case where the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he said وَبُولُ الْجَارِيَةِ يُغْسَلُ. And this is the hadith of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah with the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And we covered these hadith already. He said the baby girl's urine, if it gets on you, then wash it with water. So here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is showing that this is the origin to wash it. And the same thing with the case of the dog licking a container, pour it out and then wash it with water. The same way as we just saw, pour it on the ground, if there's something najis that falls on it, to pour water on it. So water is the origin and nothing replaces it, except that you have some evidence, like in the case that we had covered already with the issue of the shoes. You can say, okay, shoes, you don't need water to purify if something gets on it. Why? The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he showed us that you just wipe it and it's pure. The same thing with the lady's lower garment. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam had told them that the earth purifies itself. When the women were questioning the Prophet ﷺ about their garments being so long that they drag on the ground and something najis might get on it, then the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said the rest of the earth will purify that which was before it. Showing just dragging the lady's garment, if something gets on it, then the constant dragging is going to purify whatever had got on it, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam had explained. So in general here, from the statement of Imam Ash-Shawkani, we see that everything that was najis, if it's going to be purified, it has to be done with water, except that there's a text from the Quran or the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to show otherwise. So this is just the end of this small chapter, purifying that which has something najis on it. And that is that you purify that which was affected by something najis by washing it with water until there's no more trace of that thing that is najis. You don't see it, it's no smell, no color, no taste. If it's the shoes, then it's by wiping them on the ground. If something was najis and then it transformed into something that was pure, then it takes the verdict of that which is pure, and there's no need to purify that which is already pure by means of that transformation process. That which we don't have the ability to wash, then you just pour water on top of it, or you remove that which was najis from it. As Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah explained, And then he just ended by saying water is the origin for purifying something, and that nothing can take the place of water except that you have a text from the Quran and the Sunnah. And that's that chapter of purifying that which is najis. Before we continue to the next chapter, we just want to make sure that this point is clear, inshallah ta'ala. And if there are any questions related, then we'll handle them now. And if not, then we can move on, inshallah. We have one. The brothers and sisters in Asbury Park, if the class was, if this part was clear, you can say so. And if not, if there are any questions, we can entertain them now, inshallah ta'ala. Otherwise, we'll be moving on. The next chapter, Al-Bab al-Thalith. You had a question? Al-Bab al-Qadha al-Haja. Chapter number 3. Chapter relieving yourself. And the statement of Imam al-Shawkani, rahimahullah, عَلَى الْمُتَخَلِّي الْإِسْتِتَارُ حَتَّى يَدْنُوَ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ وَالْبُعْدُ أو دخول الكنيف وترك الكلام والملابسة لما له حرمة وتجنب الأمكنة التي منع عن التخلي فيها شرع أو عرف وعدم الاستقبال والاستدبار للقبلة وعليه الاستجمار بثلاث أحجار طاهرة أو ما يقوم مقامها وتندب الاستعاذة عند الشروع والاستغفار والحمد بعد الفراغ. Imam al-Shawkani rahimullah, he says the chapter of relieving yourself. It's for the one who relieves himself to cover himself until he gets close to the ground and to be far away from the people, or to enter into the bathroom area, the toilet area, to leave off talking, and to leave off wearing any clothing that is sacred, and to stay away from the places that Islam prohibits relieving yourself. Or, he said, the customs, and that it's prohibited to face the Qibla or to turn your back to the Qibla when you're relieving yourself. And it's upon the people to use three pure stones, or that which would take the place of the three stones. And it is recommended to seek refuge in Allah before you enter to relieve yourself, or before you relieve yourself, and to seek forgiveness and to praise Allah after you relieve yourself. We'll let the hadith, inshallah ta'ala, summarize this chapter for us, inshallah, and its importance, and it's showing the comprehensiveness of this deen. As Imam al-Shawkani rahimullah, he says, it's on the one who is relieving himself to cover himself until he gets close to the ground. The Shaykh explains, this is from the general proof in this deen that people have to cover their awra. And as for the hadith, من أتى الغائط فليستطر, this hadith is ضعيف. So here the Shaykh, he shows that from the general hadith that encourages us or shows that we have to cover our awra, then this is the same thing when you relieve yourself, that nothing changes, the awra of the person has to be covered. He says until you get close to the ground, meaning until you get to the toilet where you're going to relieve yourself, that there's no need to take off your clothing until you get to the point where you're going to relieve yourself, and not to just expose your awra in front of the people like the kuffar do. Just take down your pants. What are you doing, akhi? I'm about to go to the bathroom. Okay, wait till you get in the bathroom and then take down your clothes. So here we see that the Shaykh is just showing us that you don't take down your clothes in front of the people, but you wait until you're actually where you're going to relieve yourself. And then he said to stay far away from the people, and this is from the hadith of المغيرة بن شعبة أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إذا ذهب المذهب أبعد. And there are many hadith like this hadith of Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi, and it's authentic, where Al-Mughir ibn Shu'bah, he said that the messenger of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he wanted to relieve himself, he would go very far. And there are other hadith that show that the messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam used to go away from the people. And this is, of course, before they had bathrooms and stuff. And maybe the people in the woods, if they have to relieve themselves, then they would just walk away from the people far enough so no one could see him, and then to relieve himself, as we see from this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa sahbihi wasallam, or to enter into the bathroom. And we'll see a hadith related to this inshallah ta'ala. And here the Shaykh is just showing, if you enter into the bathroom, then it's okay if you're not far away from the people. As you might be in the bathroom, somebody might be just outside the door of the bathroom or what have you, and this is still permissible as you're still covering yourself in the bathroom. And this is what the Shaykh I wanted to mention, and we'll see the hadith related to that inshallah ta'ala. And to leave off talking. And here the Shaykh rahimahullah, he's basing this on this hadith that says, لا يخرج الرجلان يضربان الغائط كاشفين عورتهما. And this hadith has not been authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the hadith says, "Don't let two men go to relieve themselves, and they both are exposing their auras, talking to one another, yatahaddathan, and they're talking to one another." This hadith has not been authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Shaykh, he says, the one who is writing the footnotes, he says, and I want you to know that it is not permissible to establish a verdict in Islam on a hadith that has not been authentically reported to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What the Shaykh is saying is, if someone relieved himself and he was talking, then it was permissible anyway. And one of the Shaykhs, Muhammad Nasir al-Din al-Albani hafadhahullah, he said, I just want you to even think about the wording of the text to show it doesn't even prohibit you from talking anyway. The text is saying, don't let two men go to relieve themselves together and they both are exposing their auras to each other while they're speaking. The issue is exposing their auras to each other, and the issue isn't talking. So even if you were to reflect on this hadith, it's just showing the issue. Don't let two people say, oh, you got to go to bath for me too, let's go right here. And then both of them are exposing their auras to one another, just talking like nothing's happening, and their auras are being exposed to one another. So here even the hadith isn't even prohibiting the speech, and because the hadith is da'if, there's no verdict that stems from the weak hadith. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. It might be, and this would be a quick summary inshallah ta'ala, as we had a lecture one time lying on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and dealing with the verdict, that there's no verdict in Islam based on a hadith that has not been authentically reported to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some people say, no, you can use weak hadith, meaning da'if hadith, or hadith that has not been authentically reported to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The ulama who say you can use this, they bring conditions. The first condition is that it's not extremely unauthentic. Meaning sometimes the hadith is unauthentic, not authentic because a person in the chain, his memory is a little faulty. He just wasn't high powered. Sometimes the hadith is not authentic because somebody was just a straight out liar. So-and-so is a liar. He was the one that reported it. Okay, the one that's a liar isn't going to be like the student who just didn't have a perfect memory. So his memory was faulty, but you can say he was basically a trustworthy brother, good brother on the deen. And that level of hadith that's not authentic is not going to be the same as a fabricating liar, one who just invents lies on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as usually the people of deviance do. They invent hadith in order to support the deviance that they are upon. As we are given the example And some of the Americans from New York have went to the city called Touba in Senegal. And they all went over there to learn Quran. And they have a very big masjid over there with a grave in it. And they're Sufis. And the Sufi sheikh of the village, he made a hadith. He said the Prophet ﷺ said that 1400 years from now in a city called Touba, there will be a man, follow him. And he's talking about himself. So here, these hadith, they have the people who say that you can use them, they say that you have to know that it's not extremely authentic. Is there any amongst us that can look in the chain of the hadith to know, was there a liar in it, or was the person's memory a little faulty, or what was the case? We don't know it in the first place to say, I'm going to use this da'if hadith instead of that one. And this will show that the only people that would even be able to be on that level to determine which ones we would use and which ones we wouldn't use would be the people of knowledge and not the every ordinary day Muslims. The other condition that they make is that the hadith and that which established by the hadith that has not been authentically reported to the Prophet ﷺ, that it falls under something that has already been established in this deen. It falls under something that has already been established in this deen. Meaning that the hadith that has not been authentically reported on the Prophet ﷺ doesn't bring something new. It brings something that was already in the deen of Islam. For example, as we're going to cover this point of seeking refuge in Allah when you enter to the bathroom. It's been established by the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, an authentic hadith, and we'll bring the narrations. Maybe there's an unauthentic narration that where you seek refuge in Allah, but you do it another way. For example, in this case, the ulama say, so long as you have something that's authentic, why in the world are you going to go to what's unauthentic? It's in the same case. For example, something going into the bathroom. The only way you can use a hadith that's not authentically reported on the Prophet ﷺ for entering into the bathroom is if you already have one that's sahih for entering into the bathroom. If you have one that's sahih already, what do you need the one that's not been authentically reported on the Prophet ﷺ? The other one is that these unauthentic hadith can be used in what they call fadal al-a'mal, meaning virtuous deeds. That's no verdict. Something that would encourage you to be nicer to your wife, or would encourage you to make more salat in the masjid, or would encourage you to stay away from fornication, or something. Something that's not establishing a verdict, that there's just an encouragement to do something, or a discouragement, like discourage you from staying away from fornication. Discourage you to stay away from fornication. Discourage you from staying away from, discourage you from zina. Not discourage you from staying away, from discouraging you from zina, committing zina, discouraging you from using riba, or like this. this is for those people who say that. And really, as the ulama on that which is the truth and which makes more sense to anyone, isn't that which is authentic sufficient? As Imam Muslim rahimahullah, he says, what is authentic is sufficient. And how could it not be when Allah says, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum, this day I've completed for you your deen. That which has been authentically reported to the Prophet ﷺ, and that which we have in the Quran, which makes up the completion of the deen, isn't that sufficient? And if it's sufficient, why do we have to bring something that's not from the deen, not authentically reported to the Prophet ﷺ, when Allah sent us down that which is already sufficient from this deen of Al-Islam? So here at this point that Imam Ash-Shawkani says that there's no speaking when you're in the bathroom, there's nothing to support this. And he says not wearing any clothing that, you had a question for going into that? And not wearing any clothing that's sacred. And we'll explain that, inshallah. Yes. No, the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, كرهت أن أذكر الله إلا على طهر أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم in this hadith in Sahih Muslim. He says that I dislike remembering Allah except when I'm in a state of purification. So this is the remembrance of Allah. Not that you go in the bathroom and just start saying Subhanallah, 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 or you just start reciting the beautiful names of Allah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Malik, Al-Quddus, and you just wait till you get in the bathroom to do that. No, this is the statement of the Messenger of Allah. I dislike remembering Allah except when I'm in a state of purification. Oh, we know the hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, where she said, "Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yadhkuru Allah ala kulli ahyan." That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to remember Allah all the time. All the time. So this even shows that remembering Allah all the time. And we're going to see when we enter the bathroom and leave the bathroom the statement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam and the remembrance of Allah when we do that. Entering the bathroom with that which is sacred, the people, they try to say that كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا دخل الخلاء ينزع خاتمه. And this has not been authentically reported to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, where it says when he used to enter the bathroom to relieve himself, then he used to take off his ring. And we know the ring of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to have Muhammad Rasulullah, and they used to say he used to take it off. But the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام, this hadith has not been authentically reported on him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The next point that Imam Ash-Shawkani brings is to stay away from the places that this deen prohibits us from relieving ourselves in. And this is, as we see in the case of the hadith of Sahih Muslim, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اتَّقُوا اللَّعَانَيْنِ قالوا وما لعاناني يا رسول الله قال الذي يتخلى في طريق الناس أو في ظلهم. And this hadith, the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام says, stay away from the two things that are cursed. They said, and what are these two things that are cursed, يا رسول الله? He said, the one who relieves himself in the pathway of the people or in their shade. So here the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام prohibits someone to just go stand out on the street, on the sidewalk, and then just to relieve yourself in the pathway of the people. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, alhamdulillah, even the kuffar, they make the dogs go to the side and not to relieve themselves in the pathway of the people. Alaykum salaam wa rahmatullah. Or in their shade. A lot of times, you know, when you go to the park, everybody's trying to get a tree to get some shade. And on these areas where the people take to have shade from the sun, then the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam prohibited us from relieving ourselves in that area. And maybe we don't see it so much as we don't live in a hot climate, but you can imagine in the desert and the importance of shade. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam prohibited the people from relieving themselves there so that the people can benefit from the shade. The next hadith we see from the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam from Jabir radiallahu anhu, and this is also from Sahih Muslim, أنه نهى أن يبال في الماء الراكد, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam prohibited to urinate in still water. And this is the people know in the olden days when they used to keep their water in a bucket, and then they used to use that in a barrel. And then they would dip a pot in or whatever to use the water as they needed from that barrel. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam prohibited that this type of still water, that you just go urinate in the water that the people use. So here we see that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam have prohibited urinating in the water, and this is also one of the places where we have been prohibited from relieving ourselves. Rivers are still? Rivers move. Ponds, the brother's saying, did that mean a pond? And I guess a well? Any of the water that's still, the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, prohibited us
And I hope that this falls in that category, inshallah ta'ala. Yes.
I thought it was just the thing to devour what people want to use, that was something else. So the water, if you paint a horse still water, the water in our bathroom, in the bowl is still.
The water in where? The toilet bowl is still?
Nah.
Toilet. Alright, it's movable water. That's the water that's moving. That place is made just for that. The water is there, it's turning around every time you use it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But this is what the toilet is for. It's for that. As opposed to the other water. Like if somebody run a bathtub water, you say, well, that's still water just like the toilet. Let me pee in there. I'll go take your bath. This is what the Muslim of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is prohibiting.
But I look at the pond as being maybe still, but yet it can purify itself.
Yeah, this isn't an issue of is the pond going to remain pure or not from people urinating in it. The issue is you've been prohibited from urinating in it. So whether it's going to affect it or not going to affect it, it's still been prohibited from doing that. He said, or the customs. If something from the customs of the people have prohibited the people from urinating in a place to do that. And we know that everything has to be established by evidences from the Book of Allah, the Sunnah of His Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. He went to add, and to not to face the Qibla or to put your back to the Qibla when you're relieving yourself. And this is from the hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam قال إِذَا أَتَيْتُمُ الْغَائِطَ فَلَا تَسْتَقْبِلُوا الْقِبْلَةَ وَلَا تَسْتَدْبِرُوهَا وَلَكِنْ شَرِّقُوا أَوْ غَرِّبُوا. Here the Messenger of Allah alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, if one of you goes to relieve himself, then don't face the Qibla and don't put your back towards it. Rather go to the east or to the west. Here, the Messenger of Allah والسلام, is making it clear, don't put your backs to the Qibla. In our case, and we were mentioning this yesterday, our case, as the Prophet ﷺ said, rather go face the east or face the west. If we face the east, we're going to be facing the Qibla. Here the Messenger of Allah والسلام, was speaking to the people when they were in Medina. And if we were speaking to the people in New Jersey and New York area, we're going to say, when you relieve yourself, don't face the Qibla, rather face the north or the south. And this is understanding the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Ayyub, he said that, this is the companion of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, when we went to the Sham area, and this is just north of the Arabian Peninsula, he said that we found them having these toilets. And they were built facing the Qibla. So we turned them away from that. We used to turn ourselves away from the Qibla, and we used to seek Allah's forgiveness. This is if you have the toilet, say the toilet is facing the Qibla, or the toilet is going to have your back facing the Qibla. Don't sit straight on the toilet, sit to the side of it, so that you don't face the Qibla and seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness, as his companion radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that they used to do. And it's for the person who relieving himself to use three pure stones. And this is from the hadith of Imam Muslim on the authority of Salman radiallahu anhu qala qila lahu قَدْ عَلَّمَكُمْ نَبِيُّكُمْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى الْخَرَاءَ قال فقال أجل لقد نهانا أن نستقبل القبلة لغائط أو بول أو أن نستنجي باليمين أو أن نستنجي بأقل من ثلاثة أحجار أو أن نستنجي برجيع أو بعظم. Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates in this hadith when it was said to him, your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches you everything, even how to go to the bathroom? He said, of course. And this is to show how comprehensive this deen is. and how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we see in some narrations, teaches us like a father teaches his son how to do everything, walhamdulillah, and even how to go to the bathroom. And then Salman, he went on to explain that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam prohibited us from facing the Qibla if we defecated or if we urinated. And he prohibited us from using our right hands when we wipe ourselves. And he prohibited us from using less than 3 stones from purifying ourselves. And he prohibited us from using dung and from using bones in order to purify ourselves. So here we see from this hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, the issue of using 3 stones or more to purify yourself. And Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he said, or that which will take the place of the 3 stones. And here he says that we understand that which would take the place of 3 stones is permissible, just like the 3 stones are. This is as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam prohibited them from using bones and this dung. Then just like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi prohibited those other things that he prohibited, show that the other things, if they're pure and they can take the place of the stones, like toilet paper or napkins or what have you, then they'll take the place of it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Imam Ash-Shawkani, he says, it is recommended to seek refuge in Allah upon beginning to relieve yourself or entering into the bathroom. And this is from the hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا دخل الخلاء قال اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الخير. The hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, where he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he entered the place to relieve himself, then he would say, oh Allah, indeed I seek refuge in you from the khubthi wal khaba'ith. They say, what is meant by this? Ulama, they say, the male and the female shayateen. So here we see from this hadith that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam used to seek refuge in Allah when he entered the place to relieve himself. And some of the brothers had questions in the past. Do you say that when you get in the bathroom, or do you say that when you get to the toilet area? Here, the place where you relieve yourself at. As we know that if a person was in the woods, maybe he didn't have a bathroom, but where he's going to plant his 2 feet to take care of his business, this area he has to make the statement that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam used to make by seeking refuge in Allah from the khubthi wal khaba'ith. And he says to seek forgiveness and to praise Allah after you finish. And this is from the hadith of Abu Dawood in At-Tirmidhi on Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, anna nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wasallam kana idha kharaja min al-gha'ifi qala ghufranaka. And this hadith is authentic, where Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came out from relieving himself, he would say ghufranaka, or is saying, oh Allah, I seek your forgiveness. As far as praising Allah when you finish, then this was based on a hadith that has not been authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and that is the statement, alhamdulillah alladhi azhaba anni al-adha wa'afani. This hadith, all praise is due to Allah who has removed from me this harm and has given me general well-being. This hadith has not been authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So as far as the Shaykh's statement that we seek forgiveness and we praise Allah when we finish, what has been authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is seeking forgiveness and not the praising of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, we see that he says in this chapter, relieving yourself, that the one who relieves himself should cover his awrah until he's just about to relieve himself. And he should stay far away from the people, not to be in the presence of the people, unless he's in the bathroom where it's closed. And he says, and you should leave off talking and wearing something that's sacred, like something that has the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on it, or something like that. Or he said that there's no evidence authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to establish either of these 2 points.
and to stay away from the places that Islam prohibits us from relieving ourselves. And we brought the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that prohibits us from relieving ourselves in the pathway of the people and in their shade, and from relieving ourselves in still water. And it is prohibited from facing the Qibla and putting our backs to the Qibla when we relieve ourselves, and to use three stones that are clean, or that which would take the place of three stones after we have relieved ourselves, to wipe ourselves clean. And it is recommended to seek refuge in Allah upon entering the bathroom, and then to seek Allah's forgiveness afterwards, and for praising Allah afterwards. And nothing has been authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And this is what we wanted to offer today. Walhamdulillah wa subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I don't know if there were any questions remaining, or is everything clear, inshallah ta'ala.
I got one question.
Yes.
The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shake anybody's hands while he's in not in Tahar, not in purification, out of wudu?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I don't know.
Inshallah.
Said, did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ever shake somebody's hand when he wasn't in the state of wudu? I don't know. I've never come across this issue or heard anybody speak about this before. I don't know if somebody knows something. We had dealt with this before, and I thought that the brother was mentioning specifically the shaking of the hand. Otherwise, this point about giving the salam, then we had already mentioned this hadith. Jazakallah khair. Yes. I didn't entertain this issue, and sometimes I run from the issues that aren't an issue sometimes, if you can get away from it. As Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he didn't mention it, but the brother is just asking, as it has been authentically reported on Abdullah ibn Umar, that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam was in the house relieving himself with his back facing the Qibla. So some of the ulama, they tried to take a look at this hadith, and then the hadith of being prohibited from facing the Qibla, and to say that if you're inside in a bathroom and you face the Qibla or your back towards it, then it's okay, inshallah ta'ala, as the Prophet ﷺ did it. And if you're outside, then make sure that you don't face the Qibla. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And this is why we quoted the statement of Abu Ayyub Al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. He said that we found the toilets already stationary there, and they were facing the Qibla. So we used to just turn to the side and seek Allah's forgiveness. So even this shows that it's still the practice to try to stay away from facing the Qibla, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Yes. Now, is there a hadith that states making two raka'ahs after you relieve yourself? I don't know of a hadith that says that, but maybe the closest thing to it is the hadith of Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who said that he never broke his wudu at any time during the day or the night, except that he made a wudu after it and made two rak'ahs after it. Because of this, the Prophet ﷺ said that he was amongst the people of Jannah radiallahu anhu.
What about people that much use land? And I said, Walaikum. So he came back and said, yeah, I think it's wrong, but he didn't say it. Wait, my friend. So I came back and said, Walaikum. So I looked at him and said, wait, my friend. Yeah. So then he came back again.
He probably wanted to accept Islam, but you wouldn't give him the Shahada. Because if he wants the whole Salam, then it means he wants to be a Muslim. To get the whole Salam, like the Muslim.
He had a cigarette in his mouth. That's why he gave him a
Malaysian. No, I'm saying you just tell him.
Why did you not give him the whole Salam?
He was a Muslim. No, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the brother is working by the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, that when you meet the Jew Ahl al-Kitab in the street and they greet you, then say wa alaykum. And
that's up to do not begin with salam. But if someone gives you salam, then why is it upon you?
And it's very clear from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, he's here. He said, don't begin them with the salam. And if they greet you, then say, wa alaykum. I mean, this is clear, sahih, from the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is why.
Because if you say the hadith regarding wa alaykum, it's regarding Yahud. It's khususi. Specifically regarding Yahud. Because Yahud came and said, salam wa alaykum.
Assalamu alaikum.
So that's khas. And that's why you find the salaf saying salam to everybody. Based upon the ayah. The ayah is clear that if someone says salam to you, what? Reach them. Everyone knows the ayah.
إذا حييتم بتحية فحيوا بأحسن منها وردوها.
So if the ayah is general, you need something from the sunnah.
This is the hadith right there that says wa alaykum. No problem, it's already been checked and it says Ahlul Kitab. And this is the we'll bring those narrations to the people inshallah ta'ala, and make it otherwise we're very clear of those narrations and this hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. If anybody says wa alaykum to him, that is perfectly okay from this hadith of the Messenger of Allah. And that's why you find, if you want to know why the people do it, then this is why the people do it, because of this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. We'll sit down and discuss that inshallah ta'ala.
Let me add one more thing. I found that brothers are doing this with Farhan followers saying wa alaykum, and Ansari saying wa alaykum. These people, when they say salam, they don't have the ill intent that the Yahud have. So it's upon you to say salam to them totally. So, I mean, if you look at the mas'ala, I'm not speaking out of my head.
No, we looked at the mas'ala and we're aware that some of the ulama, that this is the position that they have gone with, and we are also aware that other of the ulama, they don't see this position, and because of this, this is the way we have saw it, and this is the way we predict. Put it out, and this is why you see the people doing it, and it shouldn't be surprising.
It's surprising, because the term salafi means that we follow the Salaf. And so if we don't understand a verse in the Quran, or understand a hadith of the Prophet, it's not.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
But our scholars that we can agree on, we look to see what the Salaf were doing. And those narrations of Dabba Mufra brings all the narrations of Salaf, the Sahaba, and Salaf. That's following the Salaf.
We'll take another look, inshallah, with that. وفيك بارك وجزاك الله خيرا. I don't know if there were any other questions related to talk.
Yeah, we're going to get to that chapter, inshallah. Walhamdulillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.